that good credit is going to qualify you for a line of credit or a business loan. Now you can leverage your credit, right, to have that liquidity to invest into something that's going to bring you back more money. And when I was talking to the banker, he was like, you got your LLC? I'm like, yep. He was like, I see that you got cash flow going in and out of there. I'm like, yep. He was like, you have your tax returns. I'm like, yep. He was like, you have your business plan. I'm like, yep. And he was like, oh, okay. Well, we'll go ahead and give you a loan. You know, you can't go out here and get a line of credit on your business if your personal credit ain't right. Okay. So again, it starts with you.
Right.
You know, you got to be the foundation. You got to be the person that understands the game. Then you can transition into the business.
I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I ain't gonna be a
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, I got a very special guest on my show, ladies and gentlemen. You're in for a treat, so take some notes. This man is a personal and business credit expert, real estate entrepreneur and investor. Ladies and gentlemen, Robin Herndon. How are you, sir?
What up? Hey, brother. Thanks for having me on here,
bro. Man, shout out to Brendan, man. You know, Brendan always looking out for your boy, man. He connected us and we made the play happen. So now we're here.
How you doing today? I'm good, man. Happy I'm here, man. Blessed. You feel me?
Yeah. That's what's up, man. Yeah, so I was looking at your bio, man, and you do some quite impressive stuff, man. You're helping a lot of people out there. You're helping yourself in the process, and that's what it's really all about. I feel like everyone's purpose in this life is to help somebody in some capacity, and of course, help yourself through the process. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that someone like you, you know what I'm saying, found your purpose and is helping others, y'all. So I just want to hear about your story, man. I want to hear about your journey. I got a couple questions for you to educate my audience and all your endeavors, you know, but I really want to learn about you so we can start from the beginning, my brother. Where you from?
Man, I'm from South Central, man. I'm from Los Angeles.
Okay.
I'm LA, baby.
That's what's up.
I love LA.
Hell yeah.
California. All day.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
So talk to me, man. Talk to me about the upbringing leading up to, you know, what you're doing today, you know, because I know you didn't just wake up, you know what I'm saying?
Talk to me, man. So, you know, I'm an 80s baby.
Okay.
You know, I crack cocaine era is where, you know, where I was raised into.
Yeah, Snowfall.
That's what it was, you know what I mean? So, you know, all the family was gangbangers on, you know, each side. You got the red side, you got the blue side.
Yeah.
My pops is on the red side, my uncle's on the blue side.
So. Yeah, I know it's the blue gators.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I went down that path. I did that in summary, you know, as a young child, was exposed to it all, seen a lot of it. You know, moms was, you know, participated in all the different activity. And before you know it, fortunately, I end up in what they call like a little foster home, which was family and friends. And then that led into my little spiritual side. And this is like a short preview, right? And then as I'm going through my little spiritual side, you know, I'm learning right from wrong, but I'd already been exposed to the game out there in the streets. You know what I mean? So I had both sides of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually once I, you know, end up in junior high and high school, like my antennas is up. I want to get out here. I'm playing sports. I end up getting like a scholarship to go to USC.
What sport?
Football.
Nice.
You know, so I'm going nuts in football.
What position?
Man, all special teams. I did Z-back. I did running back. I did corner. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Kickoff, punt return, all that. So I was going ham.
Nice.
Cool thing is I had the academics. You know what I mean? So I was about my business. You know, you can't play sports not unless your academics is up.
Correct.
But I still had that, you know, that street side. So I ended up getting in trouble. You know what I mean? Did a little bit of time. You know, I was still affiliated out there.
Yeah.
And after going in and out for some years, I was like, man, I got to get it together. You know, especially having kids and all that.
Yeah. When you were in there, like, were you educating yourself on how to, you know, be a better person while you were in there? Or were you like, getting in trouble?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because they didn't teach economics in high school.
Mm.
You know, in junior high like that, they didn't teach it. But when I got inside, you know, I came across the economic book.
Interesting.
You know, so I'm sitting there reading the economic book, Economics 101. I'm like, I've never seen this.
Right.
You know what I mean? So as I'm reading through it, now I'm starting to, my antennas is up, I'm starting to look at what's going on in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a thing for it. I remember when I was like in elementary, I was in that GATE program.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sent me to Sacramento, to the Capitol. right?
So what's that? What's the gay, like a youth rehabilitation program?
No, the gay program was like the gifted, you know what I'm saying? Oh, for a kid.
Got it, okay.
Yeah.
So talented and gifted.
Yeah, that's what it was, brother. So I remember going and seeing like, you know, the Congress building and then, you know, that and then the economics experience, you know, the economy and just seeing what was going on with the government.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that I was interested in, you know what I mean? And so again, before you know it, as I'm going through life, you know, trial and error or whatever, I'm doing retail sales, I'm doing all type of sales.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, it leads into real estate. I used to sell furniture for a franchise called Harris Furniture.
Okay.
Everybody know about Harris Furniture Store. You probably don't know.
I don't.
Yeah, they out here, man. They in all these different cities. But I was a sales manager there. I was doing my thing, studying the scriptures. And then one of my mentors was like, you should get into real estate.
Mm.
You know what I mean? He's like, you're a clean cut cat. You know how to speak well.
Mm.
He said, you'll do well. People like you.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually I ended up getting fired from like doing furniture sales.
Right.
And then it led into me like, well, you know what? I got fired. I'm tired of this job. I'm going to go ahead and try out this whole real estate thing. So mm-hmm. I started mentoring underneath him. And like my first month in real estate, I made like 30 grand.
Nice.
You know, and so that was it. You know, I was like a pit bull. I said, I gotta go get it, man.
Right.
So I'm the hustler. I became a for sale by owner king in Antelope Valley.
Okay.
Lancaster and Palmdale.
Congratulations.
I was for sale by owner king. And then I had an office out here I was affiliated with in Woodley Hills,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that was called Dante Cabillas and Associates.
Okay.
So I started getting a lot of game in the real estate with that brokerage. You know, my mentor, and then that kind of led me into credit.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because I want to figure out how everybody was buying houses.
Right.
You know, how was I going to qualify? And I didn't have the best of credit and I made my mistakes.
Right.
You know, and so I went down that journey of like educating myself on my credit worth.
Mm-hmm.
Started tapping in with different attorneys, other COs, they call credit organizations.
Right.
And then I started seeing what everybody was doing and I'm like, you know what? You're making money,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I started referring a lot of business to people and I said, I gotta do this myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, so real estate was always the foundation, you know, after coming from sales and all the other stuff.
Absolutely.
But then on the side, it was credit.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, that's the summer.
No, I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, that's cool, man. So now, being that you're at this point, right, like what services are you offering to people? Because I was looking at the bio, I was seeing the personal credit, the business credit, the real estate investing. So if someone like myself came to you and say, listen, how do I develop business credit? What are you going to tell me? What are the steps? Like, what are the right and wrong ways on how to set up business?
Yeah. Well, it starts with you. That's what I would tell anybody. It starts with you. You know, your foundation, where are you at as far as your credit literacy?
Right.
You know, where's your credit scores? What do you know about credit? What do you know about maintaining it and managing it? You know, and then I want to find out exactly what a person's goals is. It's like, you know, if they want to take credit and they want to go buy a house or they want to go buy a car or they want to qualify for credit cards, at least I know what the goal is. But if somebody wants to acquire business credit, then I need to know why. And then I'm going to give you all the bells and whistles that comes along with it. So you may start with like personal credit, right? You can't go out here and get a business credit card if your personal credit ain't right.
Mm.
You know, you can't go out here and get a line of credit on your business if your personal credit ain't right. Mm-hmm. So again, it starts with you.
Right.
You know, you got to be the foundation. You got to be the person that understand the game. Mm-hmm. Then you can transition into the business credit. So I do have a program right now where it's called the Players Academy.
Okay.
Right.
How much is it?
$7,500.
Perfect.
Yeah, okay. $7,500. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to help a person, you know, start where they are, you know, identify all the issues that they have, what they want to accomplish,
uh-huh.
where they want to go. If they want to become a business owner, they want to, you know, attain, you know, $500,000, $1 million in business credit.
Mm-hmm.
They want to, you know, turn their business that they exist and have and turn it into a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be able to get that. So I call it the Players Academy because playing football and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to know how to work out. You got to condition. And then I'm going to give you the blueprint, you know, the step-by-step system in order to not just have a great personal credit, but how to have business credit, how to have all the vendor credits that's going to come along with your business, how to make sure you have the proper business structure, you know, how to make sure you got your taxes in place, who's your CPAs, all that, the whole bells and whistles. So at the end of the year, after being in a program, you know, you either touch $500,000 to a year, whether it's a business credit, lines of credit, having the liquidity, and then you can turn it into franchising and do exactly what I do with the Players Academy, and you'll be able to turn around and show people how to run your business the proper way.
Mm, got it. You know, okay. I love that. Okay. 7,500. Tap 7, in with the homie, man. I love it, man. So when it comes to actually acquiring funding, right? Like, what are the lending criteria that business owners have to meet in order to acquire this funding?
It's a great question. So you gotta have the proper structure, like I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
You gotta have your site. You gotta be public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be ideal for you if not having your own brick and mortar, maybe have a virtual office.
Mm-hmm.
You wanna have a business email. You wanna make sure you have a business bank account.
Mm-hmm.
So they can send the money to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You also wanna make sure you have your LLC or your INC or your S Corp.
Mm-hmm.
You wanna have that structure in place. And then you wanna, if you're a new business, you wanna have projections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you gotta have your business plan.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have that in place. Let's say if you theoretically you say you're gonna make $500,000 because you have this blueprint,
mm-hmm.
they gotta be able to see that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If you have your business account open, whether it's with Chase or with B of A, if you haven't filed taxes, they're gonna wanna see their projection. But if you've already been in business, then they're gonna wanna see the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In most cases, they're gonna wanna see at least 2 years.
Okay.
You know, it's just like when you're trying to qualify for a mortgage. They want to see at least 2 year tax returns.
Yeah.
They want to see 2 or 3 months bank statements. They want to see your paychecks.
Yeah.
It's that. So mm-hmm. you have to stick to that blueprint and qualify for business loan. They're going to look at all that, that whole outfit.
Mm, gotcha. Okay. So it's pretty standard across the board. You know, they just want to see consistency
mm-hmm.
and history of, you know, money coming in.
Right. Much. But you got to have that structure though too.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have the playbook in place.
Yeah.
The business plan is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to Chase and they gave me like $174,000 a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Right, line of credit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was talking to the banker, he was like, "You got your LLC?" I'm like, "Yep." He was like, "I see that you got cash flow going in and out of there." I'm like, "Yep." He was like, "You have your tax returns?" I'm like, "Yep." He was like, "You have your business plan?" I'm like, "Yep." And he was like, "Oh, okay. Well, we'll go ahead and give you a loan." Mm-hmm. And then he said, "Let's check your credit score." Check my credit score. You know, I'm in a high sevens or whatever at the time. And he was like, "Oh yeah, you're good." And then they gave me money.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Just wired straight to the account.
Oof. That's it. Hey, the Plays Academy, baby. I mean, it's going down right now. 7,500. Oh, man. I love it. Okay. Now, I've been hearing a lot about trade lines, you know, and how people, you know, utilize them to kind of acquire funding and build up their,
right.
I guess, credit portfolio and whatnot, attaching their sales to other people's history. So, now, I wanted to know, what are the right and wrong ways on how to utilize trade lines? Because I hear, you know, how people use them just to kind of get funding, right? But I want to hear from you, from the credit expert, you know,
what
are the right and wrong ways to utilize trade lines?
Well, I would say this, from a personal standpoint, you know, if you do have, you want to acquire new trades, if you can acquire seasoned trades, which is, you know, slim and done, you may have access to like AUs, authorized users, but the primary credit is important. So most people can't go out there and acquire primary trade lines that has 3, 4, 5, 10 years worth of credit history.
Yeah.
Right? So they have to start fresh. So they got to understand that. And then they got to allow time to go by. So they have to pay the on-time bills. They got to do it for 6 months to a year. They got to keep that debt down, you know, under 25%, 30% within that particular trade reference. So it don't matter if it's a computer system, if it's a credit card, whatever it is, you got to manage that properly and make sure you create history, right? If you're talking business credit, it's the same concept. You got to go out there and acquire vendor references. Again, whether it's Dell, whether it's the gas card, whatever on the business credit, but you also got to make sure you report it properly to the business credit bureaus. So you just got to understand on both sides that longevity, history, keeping your debt to ratio down is the way to go. You know what I mean? And then don't be late, of course. On-time payments is crucial.
Right.
And just be careful because if you go out and do an AU, you'll be in there for maybe 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Maybe 4 months.
Uh-huh.
But you need to jump off of there. You don't want to stay on somebody's credit for a long period of time.
Okay.
Because if some accident happened, it's going to affect your credit. Yes, sir.
I got you. Okay. How long do trade lines typically last on somebody's credit?
If it's a primary trade, it's yours forever. You know, as long as you keep that credit card or you keep that auto loan, you make those on-time payments, those are primary trade lines.
Okay.
Right? So let's say an auto loan is 36 months. You know what I mean? That's the
longevity of that account.
Yeah.
You keep that, you maintain that payments, that's just what it is. If it's a credit cards stay forever as long as you pay them on time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Keep them under that rule of thumb.
Yeah.
That's a trade line as well. AU, an authorized user, when you get added to somebody else's credit, again, you jump off. You stay on that bad boy for 3 months, 4 months, jump off. Don't get caught up because of something crazy going on with them. Mm-hmm. And they miss a payment, then it can affect your credit. Mm-hmm. So those are the temporary ones. But primary trades, they stay as long as you pay the bill.
Right.
Based off of the contract. Again, if it's like an auto loan or a credit card, it's going to be there forever.
So when it comes to AU, so do you recommend, and this isn't, you know, tax advice or anything like that, but just, you know, giving game.
Yeah.
But do you recommend going to apply for funding during that window where the AU is on your credit?
Oh, like, well, yeah, it ain't gonna hurt. I'm gonna put it to you like this. The AU is gonna help you with your scores.
Okay.
Right, but it ain't gonna really help you with your credibility.
Okay.
You know, your credibility is based off of you and your history and your experience.
Got it.
So lenders are savvy. They know what an authorized user is. Mm-hmm. They can tell that you're just an authorized user on that credit card. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to ask for 20 grand, 30 grand, 50 grand, they're going to look at you and your experience and being able to manage something like so.
Got it.
If that makes sense.
Yes, sir.
You know, so I go out and I get a $50,000 business credit card. Mm-hmm. They looked at my personal credit to see if I've ever paid anything like that before. Mm-hmm. Right. So when they look at my auto trades or they look at my personal credit cards, they want to see if I've actually been able to maintain that for a period of time and if I've ever been extended that type of level of credit.
Right.
AU, that's not yours. So mm-hmm. they ain't going to give it to you off of that.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense.
Yes, sir.
Who taught you this information?
Man, research, education.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to, you know, go into the books. You know, you gotta read. Education is everything, brother. Literacy is all that.
That's a fact, man. Now, I get my information through education, but as well as, you know, other mentors and just people on a higher level that I idolize that, you know, just give me game and all that combined. So I was just curious to see how you acquired all this wealth of information.
Yeah, I would say again, just, you know, reading and then, you know, occasionally, you know, you have your mentors, you know, you're watching what other people are doing. You know, you go into seminars. I do a lot of that. I go to, like, I'm getting ready to go to the Credit Con in Louisiana.
Nice.
At the end of the month. And, you know, you got attorneys there. Mm-hmm. You got the credit bureaus that'll be in attendance. Mm-hmm. You'll have the Federal Trade Commission or some of their representatives there.
Yeah.
And so you get a lot of intel when you go to those type of events as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. Like, how important is your network to your business?
Well, as you know, man, they say your net worth is based upon your net worth.
Exactly.
So I'm constantly getting into the right rooms. I'm constantly paying for education, you know, mentorships, collabing with somebody like yourself, other professionals. I'm always getting intel that way, you know, and then that's what helped me. So that network helps, you know, improve and enhance my network.
You know what, and I'm a big, big, big fan of working the room, you know, and not too many people understand that, like, they could get in a room and not necessarily know how to work it. So how do you work the room, or what advice can you give to someone who doesn't know how to work the room on how to work the room?
People need to know what you do, you know, and how you do it. So, you know, I may, you know, hey man, nice to meet you. You know, man, let's make some money together. What do you do?
Yes, sir.
You know, how do you handle your business? How do you get your money? You know, what's your mission? Right? And so as I dive into that person, I find out what they're doing. I'm like, man, we can make some money together. I got you. Let me let you know a little bit about me. You know, so it's all about a relationship. You know, saying hello. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying hello. Hey, right. You're here. How you doing? Why are we standing here?
Right.
Day, exactly. And just talk to whoever it is that you're dealing with straight up.
Right.
You feel me? And then next thing you know, you got that relationship. You know, I got a buddy of mine that helped me buy some real estate over the years. I'm going to do lunch with him shortly. And he's right out here in Chathworth.
Okay.
You know, so since I'm coming into the town, I'm like, hey, man, let's make some money together. Let's sit down and have some lunch.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about a plate.
Yes, sir.
You feel me? That's all it is. So that started with the network. You know, working the room, talking, saying hello, introducing yourself, finding out about that person, telling them about yourself. That's the only way you're going to be able to make some money off of that person.
Right.
With that person.
I agree. Really? Yes, sir. Yeah, man, no, it's just interesting how some people don't understand the dynamic or just don't really have that that how can I say, or just shy. It could just be that they're just shy, but you eventually you got to get over that and just start networking, man. Because the more you grow your network, the bigger your net worth can potentially become. So, okay. How'd you make your first million?
Oh man, 10 toes down. Grinding, man, sticking to it. You know, real estate has always been my foundation. Mm-hmm. I started real estate back in 2004.
Okay.
And so
right before the crash.
Yeah, so right before the crash. Mm. And so what I started doing with educating myself, putting myself in the rooms, again, I became the for sale by owner king. Mm. You know, so like the first two houses that I sold, I mentioned that I made like 30 grand.
Yes, sir.
My first month of real estate, right? Mm. So I'm almost there, right? And so before the end of the year, in 2000, I think it was four, before the end of the year, I probably made like 150 grand or something like that.
Okay.
You know, and then what I did is I started learning a little bit about short sales.
Okay.
Started educating myself in short sales. So before you know it, I started doing cash for keys and cash for deeds. Mm-hmm. Before you know it, I got a bunch of houses.
Nice.
Right. And so I got like 10 houses at one point, 10 or 11 houses. I got people paying me a whole bunch of money for rent. Then I had people that wanted to do seller financing, and I was offered extending seller financing.
Okay.
Then it went from me offering seller financing to selling the houses. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's how it started.
And it just kind of
built. It just kind of compound from there.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I mean, interest rates are going crazy. So tell me, how has like the rise in interest rates or inflation impacted your real estate business in any way? Or has it?
No, not for me. Interesting. Mm. Interestingly, like I have a property right now that I'm getting ready to sell in Los Angeles, right off of Arlington.
Okay.
39th and Arlington. I'm gonna sell it for 1.3. Mm-hmm. Right. I bought it for $500,000 like 2 years ago.
Wow.
Maybe 2.5, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But you know, coming out of the pandemic, I was going through, you know, dealing with rehabs and construction and all the other good stuff.
Yeah.
It's on the market right now, but I bought that property and I did like an interest only loan.
Mm.
Right. And so the interest only loan was at like 8%.
Okay.
Right. It wasn't that to go in interest rates that was at 3 or 4 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it just was what it was. I accepted the fact that I was paying that interest rate.
Yeah.
And I just needed to get in and get out, you know. So my profits is my profits. So I can't say it's affected me, but the interest, you got to pay whatever it is in order for you to be in the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So whether it's a 20% interest rate like auto loans, or even if it's a, you know, like a credit card, you got to pay the rate. It is what it is. You just got to make sure you stay on your business, pay it, get in and get out. Mm-hmm. That's the rule of thumb with me when it comes down to interest rate. I don't really care about the interest rate.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just get in and get out.
Interesting. Okay. What's a high interest rate to you?
Depends on what it is. Like for example, line of credit. I got a variable. I just talked about that line of credit. I had a variable interest rate on that one. It started at 8 and went up to 11.
Mm.
You know, it's at 11 right now. So what I'm gonna do is just go pay it off.
Okay.
When I go pay it off, I ain't gotta deal with it. I think 11 was somewhat high.
Yes.
You know, on a business line of credit. Mm-hmm. If I was dealing with an auto loan, you know, I might want to pay 20. I don't want to pay 30, I don't want to pay 19 either.
Right.
Right? That's why I make sure I have good credit so I can avoid that.
Got it.
You know what I mean? If I go out and get a, let's say not a business loan, but I go out and get a mortgage loan, whatever the going interest rates are, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is, 6-7%, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I can buy down the rate, I'll buy down the rate. Mm-hmm. You know, put some money into it, take my rate down 2-3 points, I'm good.
Yeah. Love it. Okay. What do you do to relax and chill, man? I mean, it sounds like you're a hustleaholic.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, you gotta get some time to yourself.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Mind, body, and soul take care of everything else.
All day. Fitness, you know, I'm on that tough, you know, MMA and all that.
Mm.
So I do that for my mind, mental conditioning, my strength training. And just in case I have to defend myself. But outside of that, you know, I got a family. I got a wife and kids. I got a total of 8 kids.
Wow.
Yeah, so a wife, beautiful wife. And so, you know, outside of hustling, I spend a lot of time with them. You know, going to movies, that's pretty relaxing to me.
Yeah.
You seen the movie Creed 3?
I did.
Yeah, it was a good
one. What do you think about it?
I thought it was cool, man. I can't complain, man. I liked it.
I like the fighting scene. I mean, you know, the story kind of dragged a little bit, but to all due respect, I was watching it bootleg at the crib, you know what I'm saying? It was dark, you know, a little bit. It wasn't like in the theater. So, you know, it, for me, the story kind of dragged, but the fighting scenes were amazing.
Okay.
The, both actors did a great job, both in tip-top shape. I'm idolize you guys. I'm in the gym trying to look like you guys now. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
To this day.
Yeah, to this day.
But yeah, but nevertheless, I think the whole progress from Rocky to Creed is it's wonderful, man.
Okay,
I like
yeah.
the evolution.
Yeah, and I dig it, man. I'm the same way. I enjoyed it. I like the fact that it was, you know, LA based. Like, you know, you have the Hollywood. I like the fact that, you know, he was able to produce his own movie, you know, which is powerful.
And direct,
you
know, right?
He did direct. Well. Yeah, produced, directed, you know, and he starred in it. You know, I think they said.
Three checks.
I think he said he did like $50 million when it came out, something like that.
I think that was just in the United States, too.
Yeah,
not
he covered up with that, man. So I was excited because that was progress. That just showed that that man, that brother, was able to scale and level up, you know, in life. And you can do it if you put your mind to it. You know, he didn't hold back from doing that, so I liked it. But yeah, as far as relaxing, movies, you know, I did that at the theater. You know, I like to, you know, like I said, work out. I like to swim. That's pretty relaxing. You know, I do the sauna in the steam room all the time.
Word.
Or I sit back and have my little nightcaps or whatever, pot, meditate or whatever.
Meditation. No, yeah, meditation is big for me, man. How often do you meditate?
All day, every day, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like I was meditating this morning, praying this morning before I came here. I was in the sauna for an hour. I was just sitting there, you know, going through it, thinking about what I was going to do, where I was going to go. You know what I'm saying? Everything is about action. Moving forward. You know what I mean?
Nah, I agree, man. I mean, I come from a godly mother. You know, she definitely instilled that, the Bible, early on with us, you know, so I always kept my spiritual side, you know, and tapped in. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that I'm on his time, you know what I'm saying? So even when I decide to make a move, it's him putting that in my heart to create a move. So even this conversation, you know, I know this is going to spark something for me that's going to help me excel, even on the real estate side of things, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, but meditation, man, for me, 3 times a day, even if it's as little as 5 minutes, I feel like it gives me the balance I need to take on all that I want to take on, you know what I'm saying? And for somebody like you, I mean, I'm glad, you know, you do the same things because it sounds like you take on a lot.
Yeah, it is what it is, man. You got to deal with it, you know what I mean?
How many properties you own?
4 right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to buy an apartment complex, 100 doors, what I'm focused on. So my goal.
In California?
I'm trying to be out of California. You know, California's saturated. Everybody got money. They don't want to let go of none of their stuff.
Yeah.
Especially like A or B class. I ain't really trying to deal with like 5 or 10 doors. You know, so kind of been part of the Grant Cardone group that I'm part of. You know, we got that acquisition. We do our things every week. So I plan on buying 4 apartment complex, 100 units or more.
And
it's going to be a syndication. You know what I mean? So I'll take the monies and things that I've, you know, earned and compound and invest into there and build that network and just get
so on and so forth.
Yeah, that's it.
I love that, man. Well, yeah, I mean, I come across properties all day, so I'm going to definitely send you some.
Yeah.
See if we can do some business.
Yeah, we will.
Okay, tell me about leverage. Well, what is leverage?
Leverage is when you can take, you know, let's say you got capital, right? And you can invest in, let's say, a rental property, you know, and then that particular rental property, you know, let's say the value jumps up. You know, you just took a little bit of money, you put into this rental property and that property jumped up. Now you got a little bit more money, you know, or let's say you use credit. You know, credit is another way of having leverage, right? That good credit is going to qualify you for a line of credit or a business loan. Now you can leverage your credit, right, to have that liquidity to invest into something that's going to bring you back more money. If that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense.
You know what I mean? So you take a little money, throw it into marketing, and then that money comes back. You got a little leverage there.
Got it. Okay. Cool deal, man. I mean, what advice can you give to somebody just trying to, you know, build their credit, start a business, and you know, work their way up, you know? So, cause you mentioned something earlier that was interesting. You said like, if somebody comes to you for advice when it comes to starting a business, you would ask for what you want the money for. And then you would kind of direct them on how to do that.
Yeah.
Why is that important?
Because you gotta know exactly what you're doing, man. You can't be out here just like willy-nilly. You gotta know what's the plan of attack? What direction are you going? You can't, you know, in order for you to be able to successfully do it, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So. somebody come to me and they say, I want to acquire a house.
Okay.
Then you need to understand the steps that comes along with financing a house. Mm-hmm. Or if you don't have the money, how are you going to qualify to buy the house, mm-hmm. right? So those steps that is required in order for you to successfully do that, you need to be consciously aware of it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how it starts. You mm-hmm. got to see the blueprint. And so again, with credit, if somebody was to come to me and say, I want to build my credit, I want to enhance my credit, I'm like, do you know exactly what your credit entails? Mm-hmm. You know, what's your three scores? You know, how many trade accounts do you have? Do you have any collections? Mm-hmm. You know, do you have any inquiries? Do you know what that is? Mm-hmm. You need to be consciously aware of all this in order to be able to manage it, mm-hmm. right? And so, of course, if somebody wants to repair their credit, I can help them do that.
Right.
You know, we got the staff, all that. They can go to robinsyourway.com. Mm-hmm.
Wait, where can they go?
They can go to robinsyourway.com, mm-hmm. right? And then we have a team that's there that can do it for you, mm-hmm. right? We also have a do-it-yourself. It's a free course, if you will. Mm-hmm. You can do it yourself. You'll pay just for credit monitoring, okay. and we'll give you a free course that allows you to do your actual credit repair, mm-hmm. right? And you'll also get education at the same token. So you get the consulting and counseling within that system.
What is the time frame to do it yourself?
It really depends on how bad your credit is, how many inquiries you have, mm. how many collections you have, mm. you know, whether or not you got any repossessions or foreclosures and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It can be done within a little 6 months to a year.
Got it.
You know, if you got like hefty accounts, mm. bad stuff, but if it's not a whole lot, theoretically you can get it done within 90 days or less.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I may need that. I actually, thanks to our president, you know, my student loans got wiped out.
Okay.
So I was there, you know, car paid off, and just got another credit card, but you know, making the payments. So my thing is good. I just want to beef up the score.
It has it. Yep.
You know,
so. AUs will help, mm-hmm. you know, get some more credit. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. You know, sometimes people say debt is bad, but that debt, you can leverage that debt, you know, mm-hmm. to build your credibility. To qualify for more if you know how to maintain it, you know, to leverage it.
So what are some examples how people can utilize leverage to, you know, acquire more funding?
Let's say leverage to acquire more funding. Mm-hmm. What I would do, let's say like I was using that line of credit situation that I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. you know, $170,000 that they gave me.
Right.
Right? Which is debt, mm-hmm. right? I'll take that loan. I already had the money. Mm-hmm. You know, I just did it on a strength.
Yeah.
You know, just to have credibility with them. Mm-hmm. You know, so I can use their money, take their money and go invest it into something that's going to bring me back a great rate of return.
Right.
You know, so I'll flip that, double that, bring that back, mm-hmm. go back and pay their loan off. Mm-hmm. Once I pay their loan off, they're going to give me a higher line of credit. Mm-hmm. Once they give me a higher line of credit, I just wash and repeat and do the same thing. If that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense, man. That's awesome. Now, how many people have you helped with your business?
Oh, man. I'll put it to you like this. I think in just during the pandemic, we helped over like 263 businesses. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Yeah, 263 businesses and an average of like 250,000 they acquired.
Wow. Yeah. That's beautiful, man.
Yeah. Hey. Just in the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. So, yeah, that pandemic changed a lot of lives, man.
A lot of people went through some stuff. You know what I mean? You know, they say every recession, you know, a lot of businesses or a lot of people become millionaires. Mm-hmm. You know, I was able to, you know, continue to enhance mine because I seen that it was down and now I had to capitalize. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's all about.
Are your kids into real estate?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, my oldest son, he's 24. He actually runs my nationwide real estate wholesale business.
Sweet.
Yeah, he's the top sales guy there.
Love it, man. So break down the wholesaling game for me, because you know, I know it's fairly new to some folks and they don't really, they're just like, it's foreign to them. So break down how that works, you know, from, you know, it don't have to be like the whole step-by-step
You know, over the years, they were like, you know, you can buy a house, no money down. It's true.
Okay.
You know, all you have to do is get a property under contract.
Okay. What do you say when you get it? When you mean under contract, like, how do you get it under contract? What are you saying to the homeowner?
Again, you got to find out what the homeowner situation is.
Okay.
You tell the homeowners, what's your bottom line? How much do you want?
what's your mortgage that you need to pay off? You know, what's your bottom line? How much do you need? Homeowner says, I need, let's say, $200,000. You find out why. You look at the property, look at the market, like, how can, what can I resell this for? You resell it for $250,000, you resell it for $300,000. Okay, that's your money that you're prospectively gonna have access to. You just tell them, I got you, I'll give you what you're asking for. You know, and I'll pay cash for it.
Okay.
Right? All I need is a purchase agreement and we can open escrow. Right? You give him a purchase agreement, RPA, you go ahead and sign between you and him or her, right? You take that, you open escrow. Now you got that piece of paper, you got that instrument, right? You take that piece of paper and you go over to the next man. It's like, hey, I got this property that I'm selling. You want it? You know, give me $250 for it. Or give me $225 for it. It's worth at least $300. You got action. You want it? Yeah, I want it. Here you go. Send the money to the escrow. It's as simple as that.
Wow.
You know, as long as you got that paper, you control that property. You just need to do it within the time frame according to your terms of agreement of your contract.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, and what's the standard time frame when it comes to wholesaling, like with a property?
You want
to
be at a closing within 2 weeks to 30 days.
Okay.
You know, 30 days is average in real estate, right? Yeah. Like the standard escrow. So if you can get it done in 2 weeks, that means you're a champ. You really get things done. But within 30 days, you're good. You know, find your buyer and know your exit strategy before you go in.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. So you lock in a good price with them, let's say $250, put on the market, not put on the market, but sell it off like $500, you make that $500. I mean that $250.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Honestly, so we got it to where just in that nationwide wholesale, we do about $100,000 a month easy.
No real estate license required to do that.
Nah.
Wholesaling, man. That's where it's at.
It's okay.
I love it, man. Hey, listen, man. If you can give any advice to these people watching right now regarding real estate, regarding credit, regarding being a solid human being, what would that be? Drop these jewels for them right now.
Man, I would say don't be scared to get into the game. You know, I loved Monopoly when I was coming up. You know, I still play it. I'm still great at it, you know?
Yeah.
But that was like the educational piece on how it works.
Yeah.
You know, you go out, you educate yourself, find out who are the players in the game, ask questions, how do they do what they do? Why they do what they do? You know, ask the lenders, like, what do I need to do in order to get some of your money?
Right.
You know, when I bought the Arlington property, you know, I put down like $150,000 and people came and gave me $350,000 with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I didn't use all of my money. So there's lenders out there that'll do it. Like I said, I did that interest only.
Yeah.
I put down a little bit of money. But again, I've acquired money over time with doing wholesaling and things of that sort, you know?
Yeah.
So again, if you educate yourself, you immerse yourself into the industry, you'll be able to do it. Just can't be scared to do it. And just continue to take in the game.
Oh, man. No fear, man.
Go do it.
Oh, man. Robin, thank you for coming, man. I learned a lot today, man. Yeah. This is wonderful. I hope you guys learned a lot today. Make sure you tap in with them. What was the website?
RobinYourWay.com.
There it is, man. Any social media platforms people can follow you on?
Yeah, go to Robin's Your Way on Instagram, on LinkedIn, on all of the platforms, man. You can go on TikTok, it's Robin's Your Way.
Love it, man.
Yeah, Facebook, all that.
Now, wait, real quick before we go. Now, you mentioned you had a real estate brokerage in Beverly Hills. Yeah. Tell me about that.
Oh, okay. So we launched that like almost a year and a half ago.
Okay.
That's a luxury real estate brokerage.
Okay.
Website coming to you guys. It's going to be like the whole Selling Sunset situation, right? Website, all that. But yeah, it's a licensed brokerage. You know, I'm the broker. We're going to be doing multifamily. We'll also be doing luxury real estate right here in Beverly Hills, California. So we're recruiting agents as we speak. People can come over there and get a better split than what they got at other brokerages, you know what I mean?
Trying to sell me right now.
Yeah, they can build teams. And I think one of the great assets about working with our brokerage is the education that they're going to get and then the support system that they're going to get. And they'll start with a higher split than they would anywhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Higher split anywhere else, You're gonna learn how to become a fix and flip investor. You're gonna learn how to do wholesaling. You're gonna learn how to do multifamily, you know, and you're gonna have a high split.
Yeah.
You know, so the educational piece is there, and it's, you know, it's a unit, man.
How do you teach the agents how to generate leads?
You know, marketing, Facebook, Instagram, of course, the networking aspect of it. Mm. You know, they got to do everything that comes along with networking, marketing, and just, you know, wanting to do it. You know, if they have the right mindset, then they'll be able to grow.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh man, well, once again, it's been a pleasure, my brother.
Absolutely, brother.
Thank you for coming through.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. This has been another episode of Sleepers for Billionaires, the podcast. Once again, Robin Herndon, Johnny Vegas. We out here, man. Shout out to my guy, Brendan, for setting this up. Make sure you stay tuned for more episodes to come. Season 14 is on the way. This is episode 148. We've been grinding, brother.
That's what's up, man. Congratulations, brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you. Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Thank you for watching, and we out.